and a very big, big story to debate this morning. A massive moment for the Republic.
Votes in favour of the proposal, 1,429,981. Votes against the proposal, 723,632. Majority of votes in favour of the proposal, 706,349.
The South overwhelmingly voting to overturn the country's abortion ban. So, attention now shifts to Northern Ireland. The Prime Minister, Theresa May, is facing a growing number of calls to bring our laws in line with the rest of the UK. But Arlene Foster has said the result of Ireland's abortion referendum has no impact on the law in Northern Ireland. The DUP's Jim Wells in the studio with us this morning. Well, Arlene Foster might say that, and others might say, Jim, that she and your party are living in a bubble. Look at what's happening around you, everywhere.
Well, both Arlene, Paul Given and Jim Shannon have all been on the media this morning to say that this doesn't affect the legal position as far as we're concerned. The devolution settlement is very clear in this, that Northern Ireland has the right as a devolved assembly to make a decision on this issue on behalf of the people of the province. And you can't pick and choose devolution. Either we are in control of all of these affairs or we're in control of nothing. And my personal view and the view of the party is that this is best left to the assembly. And Stephen, what people have forgotten in the
There's
debate...
There's no assembly.
But what people have forgotten, Stephen,
is... best left to the assembly? You haven't got one.
The Assembly's had a very recent debate on this, the 10th of February 2016. There was a very long, and I must say, very respectful debate.
You have to go back 2.5 years ago.
Yes, but that's recent in parliamentary terms. And the reality is there was a very balanced debate, a very well-tempered and quiet debate to some extent in the Assembly. And all the arguments were made very fully at that debate. And by 2-1, the Assembly voted not to implement changes to our legislation. So it's not ancient history here. We've made that decision. And I've no doubt the Assembly would make the same decision if it happened now.
But if it happened now, but it's gone. It's not here.
Yes,
so you're now wanting to rely on something that doesn't exist.
Yes, but almost exactly the same people are still in the Assembly now as made that decision. There's been a few changes. But the reality is that that was a balanced debate where people considered all the facts about all the issues and came to a well-considered conclusion that there was no need to change the law in Northern Ireland at this point.
Why do you think there was such a landslide in the Republic?
Stephen, I was shocked by the size of the majority. None of the opinion polls, none of the pundits suggested that. I think a lot of it goes back to the fact that the Catholic Church, which for so long was a major player in social affairs in the Irish Republic, has lost all authority because of other issues. And many people, I thought, maybe decided that because the Catholic Church were in favour of retaining the legislation in the Irish Republic, that they would go and sort of... shoot a broadside across the Catholic Church by
Are you serious?
Yes, I think there's enough.
You don't think all of those people voting were voting in an informed way about what they felt should happen with women and women's rights? You think that they tokenistically wanted to punish the Catholic Church about a completely different subject, Jim?
Well,
is that not offensive?
The Catholic Church and all of these moral issues, many feel in the Republic, has lost all authority because of what has been going on. Now, I think the situation in Northern Ireland is very different, and it is interesting that our closest constituency, Donegal, actually voted 52% in favour of retaining the present legislation. And I think that's more indicative of what would happen in Northern Ireland rather than the Irish Republic. But this, fundamentally, is not a matter for the Conservative government in England or for Stella Creasley or anybody else. This is a decision for the elected representatives of the people of Northern Ireland, and that's the Assembly.
You're the same party, the DUP, who, when people here in Northern Ireland voted to remain in the EU, you're the same party that said, this is not a decision for the people of Northern Ireland. This was a UK-wide referendum.
Which it was.
You're the same party, right?
Yes, which it was, yes.
So it wasn't a decision for the people of Northern Ireland, but now when it suits you, it's not a UK-wide matter.
But the rules were established before the referendum that it was an overall...
You get the principle,
though. It was an overall UK vote.
You get the principle of what I'm saying.
And there's over a million majority within the UK voted to leave Europe. And that were the rules.
What about Northern Ireland?
And the rules also state that in Northern Ireland, it's the view of the Northern Ireland people through the Assembly that makes this decision.
There is no Assembly.
But Stephen, what I'm making the point is the Assembly very recently has discussed this issue, and I have no doubt the same decision would be made if we decided upon it now.
Do you not think, Jim, that rather than it being some type of... You're talking about clerical sex abuse, aren't you, the scandal in the Catholic Church around that. Do you not think that rather than this being what you're suggesting, which was that the referendum in the South was some type of broad punishment for the Catholic Church for child sexual abuse, which many people will find they will disagree with you. Do you not think it's more likely that there's a younger, more liberal generation coming through now who believe in the rights of a woman to decide what happens to her own body?
I have no doubt that some of that's true, Stephen, and this is all very interesting, but remember, that does not dictate what we in this part of the United Kingdom do.
Yeah, but my question was, why do you think it happened in such a large number?
I think it's because of the revulsion about what has been going on in the Catholic Church, and also there has been a liberalisation of the viewpoint of many people in the Irish Republic, and I accept that. But that doesn't mean that we in Northern Ireland have to slavishly follow that. We have our own Assembly, we have our own community who will make that decision and who will make it after a considered debate, as we had in the Assembly 2 years ago.
So when could people have a considered debate in Northern Ireland?
Stephen, as you know, my party, the DUP, would be back in devolution in the morning. We have no problem whatsoever. We have no preconditions. We want to go back into the Assembly to deal with these very issues.
You have preconditions. You wouldn't accept an Irish Language Act for a start, would you?
We wouldn't, no.
Is that not a precondition?
But those are unreasonable preconditions that are being set by others before we can go in.
Right. But you say you have no preconditions, but you wouldn't accept an Irish Language Act.
The DUP are setting no preconditions about going in. We would go in next...
The precondition is there would be no Irish Language Act.
We would go into devolution on Monday morning, next Monday morning, if that was possible. We are not saying that we have to have any of our pet demands answered. We can go in and start to debate important issues like this.
Is a precondition no Irish Language Act?
But we're not setting that, Stephen. They're making a demand which is unreasonable. And they're saying they're not going to go back into devolution without an Irish Language Act. And we're saying we need devolution. Discuss that issue by all means. Let the committees and the plenary sessions have a look at it. But we're not holding back devolution because we're not getting our pet demands.
Here's Jim in West Belfast to speak to you, Jim. Morning, morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Jim. Jim Wales, obviously a member of the Democratic, I want to emphasise the word Democratic Unionist Party. And I'd like to ask them this question. Northern Ireland is an integral part of the United Kingdom. England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland. But yet the people of Northern Ireland are denied the same fundamental rights as the people of Scotland, Wales and England are. Why should a person in Manchester have different rights than a person in Belfast? LGBT rights are denied to the people of Northern Ireland. The right for a woman to choose whether she wants to have a terminated pregnancy is denied to the people of Northern Ireland.
It's called devolution, Jim, isn't it? It's called devolution.
Stephen,
local people making local decisions.
I want to ask the question, so do not interrupt me, please, because this is an important issue, right? Now, my question to Jim Wales is, if he's a Democrat and a member of the Democratic Unionist Party who believes that Northern Ireland is as important as Scotland, Wales and...
England.
Why does his party continue to deny, with their petitions of concerns, the rights of the people in Northern Ireland to enjoy the same basic rights as people in the rest of the UK?
Because, Jim...
Let him answer you, Jim.
Because, Jim, we had a lengthy debate in the Assembly and it didn't require a petition of concern. It was by 2-1 in favour of retention in the present situation, and there are differences throughout the United Kingdom on these social issues. We have a right as a community to make our own decisions. We shouldn't have them imposed upon us.
No, you have a right as a community to impose that are against LGBT rights, you are against an Irish Language Act, your party is against the right for a woman to terminate a pregnancy if she so chooses. So you are imposing your ideals on people who don't agree with you. Yeah. That is not democratic politics.
And that's views which we stood upon at the last election, and we scored our highest vote ever in the history of the party. Almost 300,000 people voted for us, knowing full well that we're opposed to an Irish Language Act. We wanted to protect the unborn child, and we were not in favour of change in the status of marriage.
One more question, Jim, before Stephen cuts me off. If an Assembly is reformed and up at Stormont, and the people decide that LGBT people can get married and have same-sex marriages, and that a woman can terminate her pregnancy, would your party respect the will of the people?
Our party,
or would you use a petition of concern?
Well, we would use a petition of concern on those issues.
Because
that has been set up under the 1998 Act to allow those who feel that they are grieved about a certain policy to have it looked at again. And we would. I mean, no bones about it. And we have in the past. But remember,
when Jeremy Corbyn gets in and scrubs the 98 Act, will your party accept the right of LGBT people to get married, have same-sex marriage, and a woman to terminate her pregnancy?
Continue to put our views to the people, and they have been voting for us in increasing numbers, and that's democracy.
So, Jim, what you just summarised there in your answer to our caller, Jim Wells, is that you began this discussion by saying it should be for locally elected people to decide. And then at the end of your answer to Jim in West Belfast, you're essentially saying even if there is a democratic vote, the DUP will override the will of the Assembly if it was ever up and going again, and you will use a petition of concern. So it doesn't even matter now, does it, if the majority of MLAs in Northern Ireland want to reform abortion, your party will block it anyway.
In exactly the same way, Stephen, the majority of MLAs wanted to redefine the definition of a victim to ensure that those who are involved in terrorism were not defined as victims.
You're going to have to feel here, Jim, with all due respect.
The majority voted for that, but it was blocked by a petition of concern through Sinn Féin. And that's the mechanism under which we are ruled in Northern Ireland. It's a mechanism to protect the rights of minorities, particularly in this case, the right of the unborn child, which I think is a very important right. Well, Jim, and that's been overlooked in all of this debate.
And why would you not respect the majority vote in a situation like this?
Because that the system we have under the 1980 Act enables those who have concerns about particular issues to put down a petition of concern, which requires both a majority of unionists and a majority of nationalists.
So there would be no point having a vote even in this country.
Well, on the abortion vote, we won by 2-1 without a petition of concern. There's a very clear majority within the Assembly.
But there was no point having that vote, is there? There would be no point having one in the future because you'd override it with a petition of concern.
We didn't need to use the petition of concern.
But if you had needed, you would have used it.
We would have protected the right of the minority, which is the unborn child.
So what's the point of having a vote?
Well, you have a debate, you try and persuade people otherwise.
And if you don't win, you stamp your feet.
And that is a system that was established not by us, but by our government.
Do you think that's democratic?
It's a system that's meant to protect the rights of the two different communities in Northern Ireland.
It was a system, by the way, the petition of concern, to prevent discrimination of one community over another.
Yes. And what more discrimination could you have, Stephen, than the killing of 100,000 children, which would have happened had we not had the 67 Act extended to Northern Ireland? We would have lost 100,000 people. Stephen, that means that there are 6,000 people listening to this programme today who would not be here if we'd had the 67 Act. 6,000 people who are making a valuable contribution to our society, they wouldn't be here because they would have been aborted.
03030 80 55 55, the Lance MLA Paula Bradshaw joining us this morning. Well, Paula, Jim making it clear this morning, essentially he's making it clear that this is not going to happen in Northern Ireland. There's not going to be reform, because even if there were to be a assembly, and that's a big if, restored anytime soon, the DUP will use a petition of concern. They will block this no matter what.
And it's incredibly disheartening. He mentioned there that the debate was 2.5 years ago. I wasn't in the Assembly 2.5 years ago. There was 108 MLAs. We're now down to 90. The composition of the Assembly has very much changed since that. But as he's saying, he's wanting to continue to use the petition of concern undemocratically. I think it is up to the Secretary of State.
Petition of concern is part of the democratic mechanism in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely. I think it's up to the Secretary of State to... this is not a devolved matter, the reform to petition concern. She could make those changes in Westminster. This is part of a wide range of social progressive issues that the DUP have blocked over the years, and I think that it is an act of hostility by the Secretary of State to be so inactive as to get in terms of getting the Assembly up and running. We need our mediator in. Our agenda has changed. It's not just about the Irish Language Act anymore. It's about a lot of broad progressive issues, and we need to get back to work as legislators.
How do you respond?
Hold on, Stephen. I agree with Jim. We are elected by the people here in Northern Ireland. I don't necessarily want the same set of arrangements or legislative framework as other parts of the UK. Let's look at what's here in Northern Ireland. Let's look at a broad range of women's rights around sexual health, for example, but let's look at what we've got here in Northern Ireland and make our legislation work for the people here.
How do you respond to what Jim said this morning, Paula, that there would be 6,000 people listening to this programme this morning who wouldn't exist if the DUP and the abortion law in Northern Ireland wasn't here. The 67 Act, in other words.
That is a very emotive statement, and
it's
true, Paul. Jim, I didn't interrupt you. I was listening there. I didn't interrupt you.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a very emotive issue. I understand that. But we have to support those women with compassion who are facing crisis pregnancy. I agree. My predecessor, Anna Lowe, when she was in the Assembly, she set up the all-party group on sexual health, and a lot of the work focused on relationship and sexual education. Abortion cannot be looked at as an isolated issue. We have to be supporting our young people in terms of making healthy sexual health.
Yeah, but the question was about the thousands of lives that currently exist, Paula. That's Jim's point, that would otherwise not be on this planet.
Yeah, and I'm saying that's a very emotive issue.
But you've got to go beyond it's a very emotive issue.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know,
Do those lives matter?
This is really about allowing a woman in a situation of a crisis pregnancy to make a decision based on herself. No woman would have a termination of a pregnancy lightly. And these comments about abortion on demand, they have to stop. Nobody is skipping over on the ferry over to Liverpool to have an abortion. It is a traumatic experience. It is a great taboo. People are having to borrow money. A lot of the women who are travelling are already from maybe deprived communities and are having to borrow money. It is a horrendous situation, and it is wrong that we are exporting our problems over to England. So, yes, yeah. Jim can make his statements, but my viewpoint is about the women and the traumatic experience and the shame they may carry for the rest of their lives because of the taboo around that. Let's pull it back from that. Let's treat women with compassion and provide them with the services in Northern Ireland that they would otherwise.
Okay, Jim.
Paula, the average woman in Britain having an abortion is age 32, married and has two children already. These aren't crisis pregnancies. These are unwanted pregnancies. Now, do you really want to bring the abortion demand as 1967 Act to Northern Ireland, where that can be the trend in this part of the United Kingdom? And do you accept that the 6,000 people that are listening to Stephen, myself and yourself this morning, do you not believe they had a right to live? Do you not think they're making an important contribution? And do you really want to have that happening in Northern Ireland, where life, there's so little value placed on life that people can be simply terminated in the womb for no reason apart from the fact that they're simply not wanted?
Jim, you're really forgetting about what I'm saying here. I believe we need to be looking at sexual reproductive rights across a wide continuum here. We need to be looking at the relationship and the sexual education in our schools. We need to prevent as much as possible unwanted pregnancies or crisis pregnancies. We need to support. I've said in the past, I am not all about pro-abortion. I am about providing women with support regardless of their circumstances. And so I think that, again, to use the comment abortion on demand is wrong.
Well, that's what it is.
Very disrespectful to those women who have made that very, very daunting and courageous trip over across the water. And I think you're doing a disservice to them by being so flippant this morning, Jim.
Well, Paula, there's no record of anyone in the rest of the United Kingdom who's asked for an abortion being refused. That has led to the death of 9.2 million babies in the womb. That is the population of London. Is that what the Alliance Party wants to happen in Northern Ireland?
Well, Jim, as you well know, the Alliance Party, this is a matter of conscience for the Alliance Party. But, there's so many issues around this, Jim, and I think that you're being too... I think that you're not respecting the rights of women in this situation.
Let's see what our caller say this morning. Daniel and Oma. Morning, Daniel.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Jim's comments about the petition of concern say everything about his commitment to democracy. And I mean, I've heard people like Jim Wells and Bernadette Smith and so on claim that they speak for the people of Northern Ireland, even though poll after poll shows that the majority of people here are pro-choice. The majority of people from both communities are pro-choice. And I mean, I don't think it's reasonable for us to be expected to wait for them to get their act together, change their position. We need action now to bring in abortion rights in Northern Ireland.
Well, can I say that I stood on a very strongly anti-abortion platform at the last election to the Assembly. My vote rose by 3,000, 54%.
Yes, Jim, that wasn't because of your position.
Certainly isn't an impediment to the people of South Down for voting for me. Secondly, at the last Westminster election, where again the DUP are very clear on this issue, our vote rose to almost 300,000, which is the highest we've ever achieved. So clearly the people of Northern Ireland know exactly where we stand on this issue. And certainly people like Jim Shannon and Paul Given made that very clear this morning. And yet they continue to support us.
Of course, you know, Jim, that that has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's not because of your position on abortion. It's despite it.
Can I say... I
mean, a recent poll showed that overwhelmingly young Protestants are pro-marriage equality and pro-choice, you know? Well, so the fact that they feel cajoled to go out and vote for you in order to stop Sinn Féin from becoming the largest party is not an endorsement of your backward position on abortion or LGBT rights.
I've worked out that I must have canvassed about 80,000 doors in the many, many elections I've stood in total. And I have to say, particularly amongst unionists, this is not an issue. And certainly a lot of moderate Roman Catholics have come to me and say they voted for me because I was the only person in South Down they could trust to uphold the right of the unborn child.
Theresa May come under pressure from within her cabinet. It was one of the national newspapers was printing this morning. I read it late last night. She may come under pressure for reform from within her cabinet. Sarah Wollaston, who's a Minister for Health, chair of the Health Committee, will be on the programme shortly calling for reform in Northern Ireland. She's calling for a referendum. If Theresa May were to push through reform on abortion in Northern Ireland, would the DUP withdraw its support for the Conservative Party?
Well, first of
all, would it be a game changer?
I think that's highly unlikely, Stephen, because there are many, many crucial issues which require the continuation of the confidence supply arrangement between itself and the DUP. Between the DUP and the Conservatives. And, of course, the crucial issue is getting through Brexit, delivering on the will of the people of the United Kingdom to leave Europe.
Will of the people of the United
will
Kingdom,
of
now,
the people of the United
not
Kingdom,
the will
as
of
a whole.
The people in Northern Ireland.
As a whole. No, because it was a UK-wide decision.
But the principles differ from the DUP,
Stephen,
does
we've
it?
Discussed this many times. I'll give you an example. Margaret Ritchie was the MP for South Down for many years. She never won on a long. I always won on a long, even though she won the vast majority of the votes in the constituency.
Talk about Annalong.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you, Stephen, is that I can't claim to be the MP for Annalong. It's a constituency-wide decision. Similarly, the whole of the United Kingdom took a decision, and by a very substantial majority, over a million people, it decided that it wanted to.
Would the relationship with Theresa May be compromised if she were to push through reform in Northern Ireland?
It would be an extraordinarily difficult issue, Stephen, for the DUP and for the people of Northern Ireland. Well, we don't think it's going to happen.
Would the DUP withdraw support?
I'm not an MP, Stephen. I don't know what would happen at Westminster. But what I can say to you is it would put the relationship under tremendous stress. And Theresa May has other very big issues to deal with at the moment, particularly the delivery of Brexit. Now, remember, there's been 54 votes on the Brexit issue at Westminster. 49 of them have been won by fewer than 10 votes. So our votes are absolutely dependent on delivering that issue.